Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now to talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. The toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. It's open right now, so don't wait. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. All this month we've been talking about freedom in various ways, and today I'd like to talk about freedom from guilt. It seems that most of the emails I get outside of the radio broadcast include some aspect of this kind of issue, guilt. I got one yesterday. It was just a beautiful example of it. I know I'll never be out of God's grace, but what do I do when I disappoint God? Yeah. You know, is God going to get mad at me? I feel so guilty because I can't do what I'm supposed to do. Well, believe it or not, the Bible says something about that, and it's deafening in its silence. Under the new covenant, guilt is hardly talked about at all. Two examples. One, if you think you can keep the law and you fail in just one, you're guilty of breaking all of it. That's in James.
Right.
That's law-based. The other place is that if you're not celebrating the Lord's Supper in the way it should be celebrated, as the completed work of Jesus Christ in his victory over sin and this ushering into the new covenant and his victory over death, then you're guilty of the body and blood of Christ because you don't believe that Jesus did what he did. So what causes all these feelings of guilt? Well, it's because we insist on coming to God by behavior. We say, Lord, was that good enough? And Paul had something to say about that. This is in Romans 3, starting in verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. That sounds an awful lot like guilt to me.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to keep the law and demonstrate my worthiness to God by law, by behavior, the only thing open to me is failure.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to feel guilty. There's an answer to this. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has nothing to do with law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a propitiation through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies the man who has faith in Jesus. In other words, this all depends on God. There's no part of me that is involved in this equation.
Yeah.
God is both just, he's the one who declares what is good and what is bad, and he's the one who provides justification to those of us who will accept Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. That's the power of what Jesus did for us.
Absolutely.
He absolutely throws guilt out the window. I mean, Romans 8:1 finishes this argument. There is now, therefore, no condemnation in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And here we are with a clear choice. We can, as unbelievers, we can, you know, deal with the guilt of being lost, or as believers, we can deal with the guilt of thinking that our behavior has something to do with our relationship. The answer to both issues is Jesus Christ.
You bet.
If you're not a believer and you want to get rid of the guilt, come to Jesus and let him do that for you. If you are a believer and you've gotten trapped in behaviorism, let go of the behaviorism, take care of Jesus, and let him free you from all that guilt.
That is basic gospel, and that is good news.
It sure is.
Absolutely good news. Friends, if you'd like to discuss it, we'd like to talk about it with you. 1-800-677-9377. If you have something you perhaps on this particular topic that you're struggling with, we would like to hear from you. If you have some other topic, if you have a Bible question, that something you just can't quite understand about a particular passage of Scripture, great opportunity to call straight through right now at 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel with Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. In the meantime, Richard, a question from Kurt, who writes to us from Michigan. This is an email that just came in within the last probably half hour. He says, I have a question about seeking the Lord. If we are in Christ, do we need to seek the Lord? He is always with us and always hears us, and we are never out of fellowship, so it seems like there is no need to seek him since we already have him. Is seeking the Lord only for Old Covenant believers or the lost? That's from Kurt in Michigan.
Well, I'd like to offer one little correction. I don't believe there is such a thing as an Old Covenant believer. You're either going to be a believer on the New Covenant or you're going to be an unbeliever.
Yeah.
Seeking the Lord, that's a loaded phrase. It comes from an old favorite Old Testament verse, you know, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Mm-hmm. And we think that, you know, because it said that and it's a wonderful statement, that we should do that all the time. So you hear very holy things in church like, let us seek the Lord in prayer. And you have to say it that way. You just can't say it normally. And we get down on our knees and we beg Jesus to make himself visible to us, to come to us, to fill us, to do all these things. And the fact is, if we are children of God, he does live inside of us. And he's inside of us going, ho, I'm here, I'm here. And so that kind of seeking is just not necessary for a child of God. Again, if you're lost, if you don't know Jesus, you are built to seek the Lord. You absolutely are built to seek the Lord because you recognize, even in your rebellion, you recognize that it's just not right. Something's wrong. I need help.
Yeah.
But once you've become a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. The very grace of God has taken up residence inside of you. Now, that phrase, seek the Lord, takes on a different meaning. Usually what it means is, Lord, help me start to listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I know you're there. I don't hear you often enough. What is it that I'm letting get in the way? Is it my own ideas on how it should be? Or is it my own desires for this kind of success or that kind of success? Is it my guilt that we just talked about? There's all kinds of things that can get in the way of hearing the voice of God in your soul,
sure,
in your spirit.
Yeah.
And you know, seeking the Lord that way is always appropriate. You know, Lord, I know, you know, you used to do this at one of our conferences. You prayed this prayer. Lord, it's the day, and I want this day to be yours, and I want to, and I'm about to get out of bed, and I'm afraid I'm going to blow it. You know, that we know that in our heart of hearts, that we walk without faith all the time. Mm-hmm. And the prayer to say, Lord, keep me honest with you. Keep me focused on you so that I can understand who you are and get to know you better and better. That's always an appropriate prayer. And if that's what seeking the Lord means to you, then by all means, go ahead and do it. But if you think that by praying to seek the Lord, that somehow he's going to get closer, then you're mistaken.
Right.
He's as close as he could possibly be. There's no one in the world who can be as close to you as Jesus is right now.
Absolutely, because he dwells in us.
In us.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Richard. Plenty of open lines, Vince. If you'd like to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. And by the way, Kurt, if you're listening, we hope that's been a help to you. 1-800-677-9377 to Staten Island, New York. Let's talk to Patty, listening on WMCA. Hi, Patty. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you very much.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I have a question. Can you clarify the scripture in Jeremiah 31:31-34 to me? Can you read it and clarify it for me?
Okay. This is where the new covenant was first proclaimed. God is talking to Jeremiah, and I want to start a little earlier than that, because there was a a time when the saying was made among Israel, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Instead, everyone in this future time, everyone will die for his own sin. Whoever eats sour grapes, his own teeth will be set on edge. Therefore, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. That's the whole section. So that...
Yeah.
Okay, what's your question?
All right. The thing is, now, I don't know if can there still be people that have false dreams? I have zillions of dreams telling me I was going to park the bay. Now, it could be because of the Boston Marathon bombers. They could try something down here now. I don't know what. But I had zillions of dreams that I was supposed to part that bay. I've even had a vision about it, parting that bay, New York Bay.
Okay. So let's talk reality. Let's talk reality. It is true that at any city in the world, at any time, a bomb could be set to go off. That's a fact of life in this day and age, unfortunately. But you don't have to live with any fear of that if you belong to Jesus Christ. Should you be afraid that, you know, I might lose an arm or something? Well, if that happens, it happens. And you deal with it at the time. But to think about those sorts of things happening before they happen only causes you to become fearful and to not understand that you are God's. Now, a lot of people do that. Thankfully, if that's true for you, that's good. But what you're called to do, regardless of however else your life goes, what you're called to do is to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. And this covenant was the guarantee, stated hundreds of years before it became true, was the guarantee that God was going to finish what he started, that he was going to send Jesus. Jesus was going to deal with sin once and for all. Jesus was going to institute this new covenant. He was going to be victorious over death. In other words, Jesus was going to be the gospel, and we get a chance to live in complete peace and harmony with the God of this universe in spite of the craziness that is going on around us. And that craziness is only going to get worse. We know that. The Bible has told us it's going to be crazy, but we don't have to live in the craziness. We get to live in the peace of God. So, Patty, I hope that helps. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. But again, this is Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you on this edition. Right now, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Talk to Mary, listening on WFIA. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello.
Hi there.
What does it mean to keep short accounts with God?
That's a human invention. It means that what you want to do is keep the debit side of your account as empty as possible. And usually what it means is that we have to keep asking for forgiveness every time we mess up. Well, the Bible says that there is no account at all to keep short. Jesus died for all sin once and for all. He's never going to die again. So as soon as you've accepted Jesus Christ, your account is wiped out. Forgiveness is available to the whole world, right? But the only place it is received is in Christ. So if you have accepted Jesus Christ, there is no account for you to keep short anymore. Your sins and lawless acts he remembers no more, and where those have been forgiven, there is no sacrifice for sin. Instead, what God does is put his Holy Spirit inside of you, and the Holy Spirit, who is the grace of God, teaches you to say no to ungodliness. That's what Paul tells us in Titus 2. So it's the Spirit's job to renew our minds, to teach us how to think clearly, how to understand the things of God, how to appropriate the things of God, so that we now have a choice to walk by faith in the living Christ instead of walking by sight in our flesh. And therefore, there's no accounts to be kept. That account has been cleared once and for all by Jesus Christ.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, does that help?
Yeah, it does. I'll probably purchase a CD and listen to it several times, and then if I have any more questions, I'll just call up.
Sure. Yeah. Please do.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary. Great to hear from you. Hope you will keep listening and call again if we can help. 1-800-677-9377. Lines available right now. I want to hear from you. Want to remind you, friends, that we're not much more than a week away from the end of our offer for the new series and study guide, Gateway to Grace. Yours in the month of July for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request yours, just go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or call 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. We'll be glad to get that on the way to you. Okay, Richard, let's go to New Jersey. Talk to Bob listening on WMCA. Bob, welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my phone call today. My question is, and I don't want to mention the people, but I think you'll know who I'm speaking about. My concern is with lordship salvation and the way the evangelism goes by bringing people through the law, asking them if they have any other gods before them, if they steal or lust, et cetera, and so on. Do you feel that that is biblical to make people literally feel guilty? And I'm talking about true and false conversion as well.
Yes.
I think you know what I'm speaking of.
Yeah.
I don't want to go in.
Back in my dark ages, my own personal dark ages, I was one of those kind of people who did try to make everyone feel guilty. It was the least I could do because of the guilt I felt myself. obviously, lordship salvation. I mean, Jesus is Lord. He's the only one who can provide salvation. So, you know, let's not have a semantic battle.
Right.
The issue is, do you need to make someone feel guilty? And the answer is no, because they already feel guilty. Even the most rebellious person that I've ever met felt guilty about things that they were doing. They know better. They know that there is right and wrong in the universe. And mostly the rebellious people are the ones who are honest enough to admit that if you're trying to have a battle between good and evil, you're on the death side of the life-death equation. And they don't know what to do about that. I think it's far better just to take people straight to Jesus. Say, you know, Jesus made claims, and here are some of the claims he made, and you can go through those. Jesus said, I am here to fulfill that law, and he did. And I'm here to take away sin, and he did. And I'm here to deal with your guilt, and he did. And I'm here to bring you life, and he did. And it's when you start focusing solely on the power and might of Jesus, and what he has accomplished because of who he is, that to me is the winning argument. That gives someone a true alternative to whatever their life looks like now.
And also it does say, I believe it's in Romans, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but God says it's written in every man's heart, mind, and soul that there is a creator. Every human being knows
yes.
that there is, whether they claim to be an atheist or not. So I thank you for answering my question. And so basically what you're saying, to evangelize, you don't need to really go through the Ten Commandments to show people they're wrong. You just need to show them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life of the world.
Yes. Yeah, the problem with taking people to the law is that it's a five-finger exercise. The obvious answer to have I lusted is yes. The obvious answer to have I ever had an idol is yes. What are you proving? The law has done its work. Let the law drive you to Jesus. That's the point. Don't drive people to the law and get them all weepy. Take them
right.
to Jesus and let him do his thing, because he far outweighs any of the ideas that we come up with to try to win people. All we have to do is point him to Jesus.
I thank you, gentlemen, so very much for taking my phone call.
Yeah.
God bless and have a great day.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. Good to hear from you. Richard, just an update on something we talked about on the broadcast yesterday about little four-year-old Will, who
yeah.
We were waiting to hear a diagnosis of a situation that he had been determined to have and had been taken to a larger city for tests and observation and so forth. We have bad news and good news. The bad news is that it turned out it was leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that if there is a kind to have, he has the kind to have because it is highly treatable and will probably be fine after going through treatment. So I just wanted to let the listeners know, those of you who prayed for little Will, we appreciate that so very much. And continue to pray for him because at 4 years old, this is something that is not easy. It's not easy for anyone to go through, but at 4 years old especially.
Yeah, there's still a tough road to go.
Absolutely.
On the other hand, and Bob Christopher has told us this many times because of the work he does with Blue Skies, quite often the people who are the least in the dumps about this stuff are the people going through it themselves,
yeah.
And it's the kids that strengthen their parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
It's amazing.
That's a God thing.
It truly is. But again, thanks to all of those of you who prayed for little Will, and he's going to be just fine. We're just confident of that. Louisville, Kentucky, let's talk to Cindy, listening on WFIA. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi.
Hi there.
God bless little Will and his parents.
Well, thank you for that.
Hi. Gosh, I could probably talk to you all day.
Well, we got 3 minutes, so...
Well, at the beginning, you talked about the guilt, and this is just a brief statement I wanted to make, and it just dawned on me when you said that, and since I accepted Jesus Christ, it just dawned on me that I really hadn't been fretting about the things that had, you know, the sinful things I'd been doing, did in my past,
yeah.
You know, like I had used to, you know. But that really wasn't my question. But my question was, does the Bible say anything about cremation?
Not that I know of, at least not directly.
It does, you know,
it admits that people have been burned up, you know, and those sorts of things. But there's, in terms of dealing with a dead body, someone who has died, there's nothing about cremation. I know that there are a lot of people who believe that shouldn't be done. I will allow them to believe that. Since the Bible doesn't speak to it, there's no point in being dogmatic. But where I go for an answer in this question is to 1 Corinthians 15. And something that Paul says, he's talking about Jesus' coming back and resurrection and all of this, and he says in verse 50, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That means that the bodies that we have, whether they're alive when Jesus comes or if we've already died and the bodies are dead, those bodies are not going to be with Jesus. They are going to be changed. Every one of us, the dead and the living alike, are going to be changed and receive a new glorified spiritual body. We don't know what that means. We just know that's what the Bible says. And so if someone has been cremated, fine. There doesn't need to be any guilt over it. If other people choose not to be cremated, that's fine too. There's no guilt over that because none of us are going to be raised with those bodies.
That's what I wondered. It says when Jesus comes back, you know, we will all be raised, and you know, how if you're cremated, how will that be?
Well, if God could speak the universe into existence in the first place, I don't think it's going to be any problem at all for him to figure out who I am and what body I need to have.
Yeah.
He will speak me back into existence in a way that is beyond belief.
Cindy, we hope that answers your question. We are out of time, and if you have further questions, please call us back on a later edition of Basic Gospel. And friends, Basic Gospel, of course, is funded only by you, our listeners, and in more ways than one, you are the reason this program is on the air live every day. Time is running out. It's running close, as a matter of fact, for you to request your CD Bible study series, Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount. 6 messages to help you see the truth about many of our traditional religious beliefs and show you the truth about the way they affect your life today and every day. To complete your gift and request yours, visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. You know, social media is a very, very effective way to let others know what you're thinking. And we think it would be a good thing if you will like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Richard, thank you for holding forth today, and Bob Christopher will return tomorrow. And friends, we hope you will too. In the meantime, for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis, God bless you, and we will see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.